Amen. I don't know about y'all, but this is my favorite time of the week, coming on Sunday nights and worshiping with you guys and getting to see you guys connect with Jesus and connect with each other. I just love Sunday nights. One quick announcement before we get started. I just want the ladies to know that you really do, if you want to go to Winter Chill, make sure you get signed up quickly because those spots will fill up. All right. We are starting a brand new series tonight called DTR. And DTR stands for Define the Relationship. Tonight we're going to talk about having a DTR with God, defining our relationship with God. Next week and the following week, we're going to DTR family and friends. We're going to have Define the Relationships with family and friends. So one of those weeks we'll take family. Another week we'll take friends. I'll be speaking next week. And then a good friend of mine, David Liggett, will be speaking the following week. So you definitely don't want to miss David Liggett here in a couple weeks. Obviously, the passage that Lauren read tonight, the prodigal son, is where we're going to be camping out. So if you've got a Bible, you can turn to the book of Luke, chapter 15. Luke, chapter 15. Many of you are very familiar with this story. Many of you have heard the story of the prodigal son. And we're going to look at this story and how the son and the father, how their relationship starts in the story, how it progresses, and then how it ends. And God calls us to define the relationship just like the son ends up defining the relationship with his father and the way his father defines the relationship with his son. But for many of us, DTRs are not comfortable. How many of you have ever come to a place where you've had to have a DTR with a person of the opposite sex that you're really interested in? Like, are y'all familiar with this phrase, DTR, define the relationship? Well, this, we said this all the time in junior high and high school. And when I was in eighth grade, I was dating this girl named Missy Dre. Okay? Missy Dre. And by the way, somebody asked me last week, are the stories you tell true? I guess just because I have weird things happen to me? Yes, they're true. Okay? I promise. I don't just make up stories. Missy Dre and I started dating. We're a couple months into it, and it's Christmas time, and all my friends are in these dating relationships, and they've had these DTRs. And Missy Dre and I wanted to have the ultimate DTR. Like, I didn't want to leave any kind of doubt that I was, really, really falling for Missy Dre, okay? So I went to a jewelry store, and as a Christmas present, I bought Missy a ring, And I didn't want to, go all out and buy, a ring with a bunch of rocks in it or anything like that. I kind of just bought something plain and simple. And on Christmas Eve, she actually lived down the street from me. I walked down to Missy Dre's house and knocked on her door. And this was the DTR moment. I mean, I'm so excited. And she gives me my present, and I give her mine. And I am so excited. And she opens the box, and there's a ring in the box, and her face turns pale. She's like, oh, my gosh. And I said, what do you think? And she's like, I love it. And I'm a little confused by your reaction. I mean, you really do love it? And she's like, well, I mean, we're a little young. And I'm like, what do you mean? This is the DTR, you and me. We're going together. That was what we say. We're going together. And she's like, not like this. I had bought Missy Dre a wedding band. I didn't even know. I just thought, this is a cool-looking ring. It's silver and round, and I got one that fit her finger, and, I just thought this would be a cool way to define the relationship. And I was way off. And I was so humiliated. This is kind of the punchline after the punchline. I was so humiliated. I went home and told my mom, and I was like, Mom, why didn't you stop me? You saw the ring. And she was like, I just thought it'd be funny. And so I'm so humiliated. I know everybody at school is going to find out. So I decide to end the relationship. And, I call Missy Dre. I'm like, hey, I'm really sorry. Can we get together? And my mom's like, you can't just break up with her and not, you're going to ask for that back, aren't you? And I'm like, well, duh, it's a wedding band. Of course, Missy's not going to keep the wedding band. So my mom was like, well, you got to get her something. So I went and got a box of Jelly Bellies, like the jelly beans. And I gave her the Jelly Bellies, and I asked for the wedding ring back, and she kind of understood. And then I was like, I'm actually asking for the wedding band back and wanted to get you a little something, but I just kind of want to end things. Is that, and her face, like, she was just totally shocked. Like, what in the world? What kind of psycho are you? Crazy DTR. 1 minute we're married, the next minute we're like nothing. I was embarrassed. None of us, looking back at that, I'm like, I hate DTRs. And I think spiritually, all of us are here tonight, and our tendency is to say, if I was to define the relationship with God, my relationship, that is just something I'm way uncomfortable with. Because my relationship with God, I get so centered on what I want and what I need, and I forget about God. And I just want to invite you tonight to come to the place where the prodigal son came, where he was totally open with his father. And I want to share with you three places where he kind of defined his relationship, where Jesus says, okay, this is where the son is here. And then he says, and then he comes to this place. And then finally, he comes to a really, really good place in his relationship with his father. So I'm going to share with you some different definitions in his relationship with his father. And I think that a lot of us will identify with one or maybe two of these places. The first one is that the son was living with pigs. In verse 16, it says, and he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. I mean, the prodigal son is living with pigs. He's living in mud. He's just living around filth. You know what's interesting about this story? Leading up to verse 16, all it says about him losing everything is that he just lost his money. He squandered the money away. There's no details. It doesn't tell you what he did exactly. It says he had loose living. We don't know exactly what that was. And this is why. Because nobody wants to dwell on their junk. When we live like the prodigal son lived and we are far away from our heavenly father, sin is only fun for a season. Sin will always only be fun for a season. And when you look back at your life, you will not want to remember the details of when you were living like the prodigal son. You see how Jesus defines his relationship with this guy's father? He is living with pigs. He's living in sin. And he would gladly eat the food that the pigs were eating. Not a great place to be. But the cool thing about this passage is, it says that he comes to his senses, right? I mean, he doesn't just stay with the pigs. He comes to his senses. It's a turning point in the story. But all of us come to places in our lives when we don't come to our senses. And we continue in sin. And I just want to ask you tonight to be honest with God and say, God, there is a part of my life that is way away from you, that is totally distant from you, and I don't like giving that part of my life over to you. And I want to invite you tonight, if it's one part of you or it could be all of you, tonight you're here and you're saying, I don't want any of God. I'm doing fine on my own. I want to invite you tonight to come back to your father, to come back to your heavenly father. Because living with pigs, living in sin, is only fun for a season. Bron told me that at the ranch party 2 years ago, you guys brought some pigs out, right? And you wrestled with pigs and you let them run around in mud. And that is a blast. That is fun. But just like sin, it's only fun for a season. Like, you wouldn't do that every day. You wouldn't just hang... Aaron's like, yes, I would. I'm weird. I would do that. Nobody would do that all day, every day. Nobody wants to hang out with pigs and hang out in mud. And if we're thinking with the right mind and we have the right spiritual perspective, there is nothing in us that should want to just live in sin. There's nothing in us that should just want to stay in sin. We should come to our senses and want to go back to our Heavenly Father that misses us, that's calling us to come back. So that's one relationship. Okay? The son is hanging out with pigs more than he is with his dad. He's hanging out in sin more than he is with his dad. That's life with pigs. This is the second part. Life with slaves, life with servants. The son feels so bad in verse 19. He says, "I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men." Make me as one of your hired men. He says, "I'm not good enough. I've made so many mistakes. I took all the stuff you gave me, and I'm back here, and I've got nothing. Everything you gave me, my inheritance, that ring you gave me, gone. I've got nothing to show for what you sent me out with. Just let me live with your slaves. I'm not fit to be your son." And a lot of us get to this point, but the problem is that we stay at this point, right? We say, "God, I have messed up so much in my life that I do not deserve to be called your son." I do this all the time in my own life when I mess up and I get centered on myself and I say, "God, I am way too sinful to be able to hang out with you. To be able to call you my dad? Just let me be one of your servants. Just let me be one of your slaves. Please don't look at me as somebody that's in the family. That's not who I am. That's not what you would call me. Because look at what I've done here." And see, David in Psalm 51, I talked about him last week. David in Psalm 51 comes to this place where he says, "God, I have royally messed up. I have screwed up so much." But you know what? David doesn't stay there. He says, "Blot out my transgressions, cleanse me from all my filth so that I can sing your praises." And he comes to a right relationship with God. Nobody wants to be a slave when they can be part of the family. When I was in high school, the worst job that I had was I was a dishwasher at Applebee's. Okay, the dishwasher at Applebee's is like the lowest guy on the totem pole. Okay. And I had this boss, he was kind of in charge of everything going on in the kitchen, and for some reason he loved to yell at me. I mean, I was totally like the slave in the Applebee's kitchen, okay? And just so you know, by the way, Applebee's are, they're all very clean, okay? If they're like the one I was at, like Applebee's is totally crazy about cleanliness, okay? So I had to make sure that everything that went out was completely spotless. And I would go home, I hated my boss so much, I would go home from work and I would have nightmares about my boss throwing dishes at me. I remember one morning, I woke up at like 5 a.m. screaming, and my mom comes in the room and she's like, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" And apparently I mumbled something about stop throwing dishes at me. Totally true. I'm just sitting in the kitchen at Applebee's washing dishes, feeling like a slave. And I'm like, I would love to be a server out there making tips. Like, I would love to have that kind of a job. But instead, I'm stuck back here cleaning crap off plates. Like, it's just not a fun job. And I would go home and have nightmares about it. Right? I mean, I was just kind of a servant, just kind of a slave. Not a good place to be. Unhappy with your boss and you look at him and you just think evil thoughts. I mean, that's just not a good place to be. So I quit my job and I just did the easy thing and just left. But the prodigal son, he does the right thing and he goes back to his father and he says, "Okay, I understand that your plan for me is not to be a slave." Listen to this in verse 22. "But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring back on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf. Kill it and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' And they began to celebrate." And I was writing my notes for this, My last little note that I wrote for this passage was life with dad. I mean, you can have life with pigs or life with slaves. And the last thing I wrote was life with dad. And I stopped and I looked at the word dad and I was like, can I even say that? Can I even say that about my God, that he's my dad? And that's what this whole passage is about. And the crazy thing about this passage is it's the only time in Scripture where God runs. It's the only time in Scripture where God runs, where God is pictured as running. The dad is running to his son. Don't miss that part in the text. God is running to his son, sprinting, saying, I want to be back in right relationship with you. I am so glad you're back. I am so glad. I've got your ring. I've got your sandals. I've got everything, the robe. We're going to have a bash because you are back. And I look at that and I'm like, God feels that way about me when I come back? God feels that way about all of us when we come back to him? I mean, what kind of a relationship is that to be able to totally forget about God and then come back and rest in the arms of our Heavenly Father and say, God, I cannot believe that you would call me your son. Life with dad. And the cool thing about this book, about God's word, is that it is filled with promises that God has a real desire and a real passion to be our daddy, to be our father. And for so many of us, I mean, let's just be honest, all of us have real dads that mess up, right? I mean, none of our dads are perfect. And so when we think of dads, we think of people that mess up from time to time. But this is our heavenly father. He never messes up. He's always wanting to be in a pure relationship with us, that he's given us verse after verse after verse about what he has said about our relationship with us, about how he relates to us. I've asked a few students, I just gave out a few verses, and I've asked some students to read God's words and what he's promised about us. I think the first one comes from the book of John. Who's got the first one? Stand up. Go ahead. Scream it out for us. Who's next? We had this planned out. Who's next?
Christ in God.
And that's just a few. Sorry, Meredith, go ahead.
1 Corinthians 6:17. I'm united with the Lord, and I am one with him in spirit.
Sorry, Meredith. Will you forgive me?
Yeah.
Anybody else? And we could go on all night, verse after verse, and read about the promises that God has given us, all the things that he has said about us that is true, what he did to cleanse us from our sin, the fact that we can call him dad and that he calls us our sons and he calls us daughters of him. Incredible relationship that we have with God. So let me just challenge you tonight. Where are you at? If you had to put a definition to your relationship with God, if you had to have a DTR tonight, where would you say you were at spiritually? I mean, how would your DTR go? Would you say, God, I mean, my life has shown to you that I am totally into you, that I am devoted to you? Or would God come to the DTR and be concerned about how devoted you were? Would God come to it and be like, I just don't know that you're all in. I don't know that you're totally surrendered to me. Or God may say, I need you to come to me for the first time. Some of you are here tonight and you've never come to God for the first time and said, God, I need you to forgive me for my sins. I need you to cleanse me. And this, for once, I just want to nail it down and know that you're my dad. If you've never done that, I want you to feel totally free to come up to me or any of the student ministry staff or any of the volunteers and say, I need to know more about how I can become a true believer in Christ and how I can become a child of God. We'd love to share that with you tonight. So as we close tonight, I just want to challenge you tonight, before you go to bed, have a real conversation with God and say, God, I know that I'm at this place, but I know that there's always going to be a better place for me to be in my relationship with you. Can I pray for you? Father, I lift every single one of these students up tonight. I pray that we would be honest and real with you. I pray that we would be faithful in our relationship with you. I pray that all of us will have soaked in all the truth tonight, all those verses about what you've done to bring us to you, about what you've done to buy us with a price, God. You sent your son to die for us. God, you're an amazing heavenly father that would do that on our behalf, just so you can call us your kids. Thanks so much for that, Father. Thanks for cleansing us. I pray that our heart's attitude would be honest, that we would be real with you. And I pray that you would use this series to help us understand our relationship with you, with our families, with our friends, with everybody around us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.